As if the McCrispy couldn't get any better, Bacon and Ranch just entered the chat. The Bacon Ranch McCrispy. Available at participating McDonald's for a limited time. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Welcome to the family here on Purple Mafia. I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin. Purple Mafia is available on all your favorite podcasting apps and, of course, is a part of the Pigskin Podcast Network. Thank you once and always for listening to this show. I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin. Thank you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is a absolutely great pleasure to be back aboard with you once again today as the Minnesota Vikings went into Buffalo, took an early lead, fell behind, looked like it was just kind of like, okay, it's one of those games, looked like Philadelphia all over again. Then they gave us a little hope, then things kind of went back the wrong way again, and then, oh my God, we might win this. Okay, we're not going to win it. Okay, maybe we will. Oh, no, we're not going to. And then we did. The Minnesota Vikings defeated the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo, New York, 33-30. Oh my goodness. Yeah, a lot of people saying this was probably one of the most exciting, dramatic, fascinating games in Vikings history the last several years. This one did have that 98 feeling to it. 1998, when Randy Moss came on the scene, came into Lambeau Field for the first time, and the Vikings went 5-0 against a 4-0 Green Bay Packers team who had 2 years ago won the Super Bowl and 1 year ago lost the Super Bowl to the Denver Broncos. This Buffalo team has been considered a Super Bowl contender, maybe the best team in the entire NFL, maybe yet for some strange reason at 6-3 because their division's so darn good. They're third place right now because remember they lost to the Jets last week. Buffalo Bills have lost two games in a row despite the fact Josh Allen looked awfully good today. Coming back when a lot of people thought Case Keenum was going to be back with his miracle partner with Stephon Diggs, who made a spectacular catch. Justin Jefferson made a spectacular catch in this game. Both of them were one-handed, phenomenal plays. Maybe the two best receivers in all of football. You got other guys like Devontae Adams. You got this spectacular receiver, that spectacular receiver, all over the league. And then, my goodness, it was kind of like a can you top this? Like Dominique Wilkins versus Larry Bird. Michael Jordan versus, I don't know. Maybe it was Magic Johnson versus Larry Bird, Dominique Wilkins versus whoever, Dr. J versus Larry Bird. It was that kind of day, that kind of historical vibe to it. And some people might say, because this happens a lot, where two teams end up playing each other in the regular season in an epic battle from the two different conferences, and it ends up being a preview of the Super Bowl. Who knows? Who knows what'll happen? But if it is a preview of the Super Bowl, I sure hope the right team wins that game. And that would be the Minnesota Vikings. Buffalo, obviously, if it's not the Vikings and Buffalo's there, more than likely I'd be cheering for the Buffalo Bills against, say, the Philadelphia Eagles, of course. Screw the Eagles and anybody else who might win the NFC with maybe the exception of San Francisco. Buffalo definitely would be at the top of my list. Both quarterbacks had one touchdown and two interceptions. It was a rough, rough day. It was windy. It was cold, just like working outside the last couple days. Super cold for myself working outside, as I'm toughing it out and all that, getting it done, getting the work done, and of course still able to keep up with a show. And who wouldn't want to keep up with a show right now? Of course, I'm starting the first segment significantly later than I normally would because I had to get some work done, obviously, or kind of obviously, and then work around this, work around that, and get caught up in the fourth quarter because I had to actually start work around that time and getting caught up listening to it, but then getting caught up with everything afterward as well. When I had the chance, of course, while eating, basically, after working outside. Here I am talking about this game as the Green Bay Packers and Dallas Cowboys are in overtime right now. Interesting how the Packers in OT against one of the better teams in the NFL And the Vikings and Packers, or Bears, or whatever the heck they're called, the Cowboys will be playing next week. Yet another huge test for this team that continues to answer the bell week in, week out, regardless of the situation at home, on the road, good, playing bad, playing spectacular, their opponents playing unbelievable, and being one of the best teams in the league, games we would always lose in the past. It is just an unbelievable season. The Vikings are now 8-1 in a situation where, I mean, you're just, it has that magical season feeling where, and it's starting to look like Judd Zolgad's pick of 11-1. The Vikings getting to a point where they're 11-1. It's starting to look more and more realistic and more possible, which is pretty darn crazy. You got to see Dalvin Cook burst for an 81-yard touchdown. That's when you started thinking, well, okay, I guess we're back in the game now. After, again, the Vikings had that really awesome opening drive. Buffalo went 3-and-out. You saw a couple of great plays to Justin Jefferson, which ultimately wound up with a 22-yard touchdown. And the Vikings up 7-0. It's like, ooh, and you could just feel like this is going to be one heck of a game. Little did we know how great of a game it would be. Yet at the same time, how ugly things would turn for the Vikings not so long after that, as Buffalo was like, okay, you think you're something, Minnesota? You really think you're something? And they started giving you the feeling like it's the Philadelphia Eagles all over again, particularly in the NFC title game, but even earlier in the season. And it's like, yeah, Philadelphia, Buffalo, that's going to be the Super Bowl. Just watch. Or frickin' Kansas City again. God, which could easily happen. The Chiefs, could be Chiefs and Vikings, could be Bills and Vikings, could be Chiefs and Eagles. It could be anything. Could be anything. We'll have to wait and see. Could be the Giants still. You never know how good the Giants are going to be. The Cowboys, yeah, they're not going to the Super Bowl. And if they do, that'd suck. And I'd cheer against them, against just about anybody. I don't even want to think about that one matchup that just went through my head. That's one of those games where you just hope both teams disappear into the X zone or something. If it's the Chiefs and the Cowboys, yuck. Ugh, no thanks. Seriously, no. Buffalo would end up scoring 17 consecutive points, including a Tyler Bass 34-yarder, where the Vikings kept the Bills out of the end zone by the skin of our teeth. Devin Singletary would finish up a couple of impressive drives. And again, where the Vikings look like like that shell defense looked mediocre, like it has time and time again during this season. And again, Josh Allen looking as sharp as ever, of course, bursting loose on some plays. Third and long after third and long, the Buffalo Bills would complete several times throughout this game. They would convert, not complete. It was insanely frustrating. Duke Johnson had some really, really nice returns. He actually had 157 return yards in the game. Very impressive day for him. Naheem Hines had 3 punt returns and actually returned them about eight yards a clip. That's not too bad. Rigger was kind of like Marcus Jarrell's, just average. Nwangwu had a pretty long one along the way and ultimately wound up with about a 29-yard return average. Good for him as he kept the Vikings in good field position. No touchbacks for Ryan Wright, but nothing in the 20 either. Sam Martin also. Both punters were absolutely phenomenal, about 50 yards per punt in the game. So you appreciate that very much. Hunter and Smith, Zadarius anyway, that Smith, had each had a sack in the game. Buffalo Bills, Von Miller, Espinenza, Basham, and Oliver shared one with Lawson. Shaq Lawson were all a thorn in the side as the Vikings drives late in the game that we thought were going to end up being wins. We're going to win the game now and great things are going to happen. Next thing you know, Kirk Cousins is starting to get sacked suddenly. And again, a couple of sacks by Hunter and Smith, one each for the two phenomenal pass rushers in Minnesota. Two interceptions for Patrick Peterson today, including the game winner. I don't know why I'm jumping ahead that quickly, but it's because I'm a dummy, right? Oh, Green Bay took over, right? Yeah, they did. Green Bay did take over. Maybe. We'll see. Hey, showing that the Cowboys are fairly vulnerable, and of course Green Bay, when they're serious, can be pretty dangerous. Rodgers actually way, way better today. Let's just be honest about that. Where am I even going with this? Once it was 17-7, you figure, okay, whatever. I mean, we have a chance. We'll see. Vikings did generate a decent drive. They went up with a 27-yard field goal. Again, the Vikings, another drive stalled and had us kind of cursing and all that, but at least Craig Joseph made the kick. So you felt okay with that, a 27-yarder. Greg Joseph made his kicks and everything, but he missed an extra point, which was really annoying. down the stretch, much later in the game. We'll get to that later, that which was not his fault at all, by the way. Justin Jefferson overall, again, like we talked about, one of those Randy Moss coming on the scene type of games, even though it's like he's not really necessarily coming on the scene anymore. It's his third year. Randy Moss was a rookie. Again, both players made unbelievable, phenomenal catches, Stephon Diggs and Justin Jefferson. But Justin Jefferson, at the end of the day, would win the day with 193 yards and, of course, got the touchdown real early. Diggs actually was denied the end zone throughout the entire day, thankfully. Just so many things to get to, and I'm going to leave some things out, and I just know I am, because this first segment would go on for like a month if you went back and forth with all the drama and back and forth in this game. Again, at least Greg Joseph made the field goals he had to, and we didn't end up losing the game because of that, so which is really scary. There's always that possibility something stupid could happen, and then we end up losing the game. But just the resilience, the strength, the ability to win close games with this team is the biggest difference with this football team versus even the 98 Vikings, who went 15-1 when, well, obviously the season was still 16 games. It just recently changed last season. The difference with that 98 Vikings team is they kept blowing people out. And then they'd have a close game against the Tampa Bay Bucks, and they'd lose. And then a close back-and-forth game would look like the Vikings were going to blow out the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC title game, and ended up losing that one in a heartbreaking fashion. Where this team just seems to get it together and get the job done, despite the tough conditions, despite bad things happening, like Kirk Cousins' second interception was like a what-the-hell-was-that moment. What was that, Kirk? Like, that's game over right there when you make a crappy play like that, and you're just left thinking, okay, we lost. And then we didn't lost. Kirk Cousins didn't lose it. He stuck to it. Dalvin Cook again with an 81-yard burst. As that time, he did get to see him turn on the Jets enough. And, of course, Desu made a great block early on to help Dalvin Cook get going. He was able to break past number 47 there for the touchdown. He had to break at least one tackle. He had to make a move around one guy. And then again, Justin Jefferson with a phenomenal block fairly early in that run set things up for Dalvin Cook to suddenly go for a 81-yard play. This is again after Josh Allen sent the Buffalo Bills into the locker room with a 24-10 lead, which had us all just kind of like, great. This is just wonderful. It's just absolutely wonderful. And then it was kind of a back and forth. Every opportunity we thought we had wouldn't work. The Buffalo Bills sputtered a little bit in that third quarter, but then late in the third quarter, Tyler Bass's 45-yarder put the Bills up 27-10, which was the biggest lead of the game. 17-point lead in Buffalo late in the third quarter, and you somehow win the game. How? How does that happen? I don't know. It happened, though. It happened. It's not a joke. It happened. It really did. 17-point deficit heading into the fourth quarter. Wow. Absolutely nuts. Well, no, I wasn't heading into the fourth quarter, but getting later and later into the game. Getting late into the third quarter, looked like he might be heading into the fourth, trailing by all that. And then Dalvin Cook again right away on 1st and 10 at the 19, just was gone. He's loose, as Paul Allen would say. And it's like, wow, this is real. And yeah, the Packers just won in overtime, apparently. Oh yeah, because Dallas sputtered. So once the Packers were able to make the field goal, they defeated the Dallas Cowboys. Which they did many, 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 many times. The Packers have beaten the Cowboys so many times, it's unbelievable. Sometimes you just own a team. Like how the 49ers own the Packers. And, and how the Packers own the Cowboys. And they beat their old coach and all that stuff. Isn't that cute? So the Packers finally win again. Rodgers with those big eyes, 4-6. So I can switch over to the wild game now. great. Well, the Packers won, and they're playing against next week's opponent, the Dallas Cowboys. We'll talk about that in segment number two. We'll talk about that later. But my goodness, I mean, you know, it's like, okay, we're going into the fourth quarter, trailing by 10. We're probably not going to win, but oh well, maybe we'll make this close. Maybe we'll be okay. And if you lose, you lose. It is what it is. We're probably not going to win. It's freaking Buffalo. But then the Vikings defense just kind of kept Buffalo in check. You notice how Buffalo stuck at 27, the bend but don't break shell defense of Ed Donatell didn't break. It just didn't break. It just didn't, thankfully. It kind of did, though, when we needed them to stop, when we needed them to get the stop when we needed it the most. It almost did break, but it didn't. It didn't break. It bent, but it didn't break. Amen, hallelujah. CJ Ham, after a phenomenal drive by the Vikings, again, an unbelievable catch by Justin Jefferson, putting the Vikings at the two-yard line. CJ Ham was able to get into the end zone to make it a four-point game, but then Greg Joseph missed because, you know, the strange situation with Christian Derisaw unfortunately being in concussion protocol at the time. You needed Garrett Bradbury to go out there for the extra point, and there was confusion. It's like, okay, get out there, get out there. And then next thing you know, in order to get the, you know, Greg Joseph had to rush the extra point and all that, and he missed. So that was more on just special teams in general, special teams coaching and such, reminding Garrett Bradbury where to be, and on Garrett Bradbury as well a bit, as unfortunately he's been basically like a lightning rod figure for the Minnesota Vikings offensive line for the last few years here now, unfortunately, in Garrett Bradbury, despite the fact he's having a significantly better season generally. But Greg Joseph missing that kick, it's like, okay, well, if we're going to win now, we have to score a touchdown, right? We have to. And unfortunately, opportunities would falter. The Vikings would fail on fourth down. Wow. Connor DeWeer finally scored a goal. Shorthanded. That's cool. Sorry, I'm distracted here. This ain't Brave the Wild or anything, is it? But yeah, do check that out. That's going to be on then it'll be, that one will finally debut on the Hockey Podcast Network. Same group of guys and everything. Hockey Podcast Network, Pigskin Podcast Network. What the heck was that? The guy just fell. That's embarrassing, man. He just fell. The San Jose Shark just fell. God, that looks like me trying to skate. Just fell. Yeah, you know, nothing happened. He didn't trip or anything. He just fell. Sorry. But no, the offense would sputter. We'd fail on fourth down. Kirk Cousins just couldn't get in. We had to score a touchdown because we're down by four. Had to score a touchdown, fourth and one at the goal line. Just couldn't freaking get in. It was so disappointing. It's like, okay, we lost. But you know what? We're going to stand up and applaud. What an amazing, amazing day. You guys almost beat the best team in the league on the road, or one of the best teams, however you want to look at the Buffalo Bills. But you deserve applause. Great job. And then the Buffalo Bills end up, Josh Allen in particular, because the ball's at the one, ends up fumbling in the end zone. Like, okay, it's a safety. It's a safety. The Vikings are going to get the ball back and only down by two. It's a safety. No, it was a touchdown recovered by Eric Kendricks. Unbelievable. And Greg Joseph made the extra point there. So a field goal would not win the game for Buffalo. And all this excitement, like the Vikings are going to win the game and all that stuff. But no, there's still like 41 seconds left on the clock. You do realize that, right? There's a lot of time on the clock still. So, I mean, let's not get super excited just yet. Because, I mean, we saw what just happened, right? We saw what's happened throughout this day. Josh Allen's been pretty sharp. Of course, he'd been struggling. He'd been sucking. He'd been throwing interceptions. Interception and all that helped the Vikings' chances and all that. He'd been struggling, and the momentum was suddenly on the Vikings' side. We might actually beat the Buffalo Bills after trailing for so long in this game. And everything felt like it was on Buffalo's side. And then, again, Delvin Cook's huge run late in that third quarter started it all. He was like the igniter, like Paul Molitor igniting a rally for the Milwaukee Brewers. And much later in his career with the Minnesota Twins, he was the igniter. He was the Paul Molitor in that sense, I guess you could say. And next thing you know, the Vikings are up. But, of course, the shell defense, you don't want to give up the big play. But all they need is a field goal. And odds are he's going to make it. Thankfully, the Vikings kept the Bills out of the end zone because that would have done it. With 5 seconds remaining, Tyler Bass makes a chip shot kick. And, unfortunately, the game is tied. We're going to OT. By God's grace, the Minnesota Vikings win the toss, which doesn't guarantee anything, though, unfortunately, because Buffalo Bills get to decide what direction we're going, and it's a windy, cold, cold, windy day, colder than ever, despite what some people believe about the Earth getting warmer. It was a damn cold day today and a damn cold week. It was a very, very cold week, and it's been cold a lot during November, the last several years now, anyhow. And you got to see the flurries there, just like we saw them here during the game. Buffalo Bills force the Vikings to go against the wind. We get the ball, but they get to decide the direction, the goal they're going to defend or whatever. And the Vikings go against the wind, put up a very, very impressive drive. Another insane catch by Justin Jefferson. But unfortunately, it was a sideline type of a play. You think, I mean, you're hoping and praying, oh my God, he's going to be loose. And once he's in the end zone, the game's over. The good part at the same time is, though, you can run the ball. Now you can run the ball. Dalvin Cook was able to continue to run and make some great plays after he'd stunk so bad earlier in the game. Dalvin Cook wasn't making plays. He was dropping the ball, and he was, you know, he just looked mediocre and old and average and all that stuff. And then the 81-yard play happened and all that. But, of course, unfortunately, you're still behind, so you're not going to run too much. But in OT, Dalvin Cook helped get the Vikings where they needed to be. Justin Jefferson made that unbelievable catch down the stretch, and that ended up helping the Vikings get the lead. Unfortunately, could not get in the end zone. Similar situation. Obviously, you're not going to go for it there. You might as well take the damn lead and hope that your defense can make the stop, because if they simply make the stop, the game's over. Of course, Buffalo will have every opportunity to go for it on fourth down still, because they're going to. If they have to score, they don't score, the game's over. That's how overtime works once you're down. And, of course, any type of a touchdown by either team is a win right away. So, yeah, regardless if the first team scores a field goal, this and that, you kind of got the point there. That one, again, Greg Joseph makes the kick. You feel like $1 million. I mean, again, we thought we were going to lose at the goal line. Buffalo Bills fumbling the snap, which is just unbelievable. And Eric Kendricks recovering for the touchdown to get the lead. We got this, baby. We got this. And then, of course, Buffalo marches down the field. Maybe they're going to score a touchdown, but at least get a field goal. They'll probably beat us in overtime. But, well, momentum's on our side, so maybe. Woohoo. The drive, unfortunately, sputters miserably. Tackles for loss and all that. Sacks and tackles for loss. Vikings have to settle for the kick. They make it. Greg Joseph, anyway, makes it. And then next thing you know, Josh Allen is completing passes. And, well, not even really completing passes. He's running. And he's running and he's running and he's running. One play after another. And it's like, oh, goody. Well, they're doing exactly what we did. You don't want to get the turnover. Just run the ball. Hope for the best. Maybe they tie it up. Oh, goody. And then the next score wins the game. Or maybe they beat us with a touchdown. And I was like, they're going to beat us. You can just feel it. And I know it's a negative attitude, but you could just feel it. But then there's always that feeling in the back of your head. There's something different about this team. Look how they won last week in Washington when it felt like we were going to get beat in another crappy trap game and we're going to get beat. And the Vikings won. And other games this season, it's been that way as well. And then it's like, okay, so what's going to be the saving grace this time? Could it be they're going to actually throw the ball and we're going to get an interception and the game's going to end just like that? And that's exactly what did eventually happen after a couple of scary runs by Josh Allen. Looked like he could run on us in his sleep. He could run on the Vikings blindfolded on 3rd and 15 and get 16. It's just going to happen. 84 yards on the ground, by the way, and average 14 a carry, which is crazy. Only 6 carries, but they were all like, you know, back-breaking, you know, 3rd and long type of conversions, which drove us absolutely nuts. And in this case, they were 1st and 2nd down type conversions, which, again, were back-breaking at times and irritating like you wouldn't believe. But then Josh Allen tries to force a play. And I don't know, he tried to go underneath when maybe he should have tried to throw it high and hope for the best. Try to sail it in there, throw it high, hope for the best. Maybe it's just a throwaway, or maybe the receiver makes the big play Gabe Davis, and then the Buffalo Bills win the football game. Unfortunately, he went underneath, and unfortunately for the Bills anyway, wonderful for us. And future Hall of Famer Patrick Peterson gets his second interception of the day. And oh my goodness, it was just unbelievable. Also, the play before that, Duke Shelley made a game-saving knockaway in the end zone as well. Because the Buffalo Bills wanted to win the game. They didn't want to screw around anymore and give the Vikings a chance to win it on a field goal or a touchdown or God knows what. Buffalo Bills were like, we got to end this now. That's where they tried to force some plays in the end zone. And Duke Shelley who was just picked up off the practice squad, called up or whatever, you know, activated, should we say, makes the deflection, biggest pass deflection of his life. Thank you, Duke Shelley. You rock. We really appreciate you. Really do, and I'm not kidding. And then there's the interception by Patrick Peterson as they try to go underneath. There you go, being Jake Allen. Jake Allen. Did I call him Jake Allen? Josh Allen. I'm talking like Montreal Canadiens goalie. That's got hockey on the mind. I apologize for that. I really do. Josh Allen goes underneath, and, well, that was the end. Once the interception's made, it's over. The Vikings win. And, again, just imagine if this was the Super Bowl and the drought's over and we beat a team that ends up going 0-5. Their drought continues, but we win. We're world champions. Oh, my God. It just kind of had that feeling for a minute there. But then we all have to put in perspective and realize this was a regular season game. Extremely exciting. It's wonderful. You're 8-1. You're probably number two in the NFL now. Maybe three, considering depending on how you feel about the Chiefs. They had a cream puff opponent today, so I don't know. Chiefs, Vikings, and Eagles, of course, are the three best teams in the league. And it's not like the Chiefs blew out the Jaguars either. They only won by 10 at home. Wow, nice. Somebody interesting one today. That's cool. Sorry, I'm losing it here. You'll find out who that is much later. There's a couple of interesting games today, but this was the game of the day. Packers winning against Dallas at home. It's okay. It's nice for them and all that. Woohoo! They're not done yet. Watch out. But again, you got to put it in perspective. This is a regular season game. I wish so much this was the NFC Championship game, the Super Bowl, whatever it was. I wish so much it was. Because, I mean, getting to the Super Bowl and winning it just would mean the world to me. And I'm sure many, many other Viking fans. An insanely impressive win and probably the most dramatic, entertaining, exciting football games in Vikings history. One of the most, probably top four all time. It's in like the Mount Rushmore. I think the most recent one is probably the Packer game. Yeah, like I said earlier, 98, Randy Moss's spectacular day. Unbelievable day where the Vikings went in and beat what was called the best team in the league, Green Bay, in their house. The Packers had absolutely owned the Vikings the past few years, particularly in that place, in Lambeau Field. And that was just an absolutely great day in early October, a rainy night in October, and all that. And this one kind of had that feeling today. Justin Jefferson, 191 yards and a TD. And again, the kind of catch that looked like it was going to be intercepted. It could have easily been an incomplete pass. But the concentration and the unbelievable just ability to make that catch just had us all feeling like $100 million. It really did. Again, it's a regular season game, so it wasn't even a wild card game. And you wouldn't want to win a wild card. With a team this good, you wouldn't want to win a wild card game in overtime unless you absolutely had to. NFC Championship and Super Bowl basically are what I'm hoping for the most. Absolutely. I mean, even winning the divisional round, it was cool and everything. But then we had the rainy, depressing day in Philadelphia. Quite different from the rainy day in Green Bay several years earlier. So it feels like 100 years ago already, going into Philadelphia and getting killed by the Eagles. Both times, the real recent one earlier this year. And, of course, the other one back in 17. It's just, let's try not to think about that. Maybe this football team is just completely different. It's a totally different vibe, no doubt about it. And, my goodness, that's why this is such a long segment, because this is one of those games. This is like, imagine how long the first segment would have been when the Vikings went 5-0 against the Green Bay Packers. And people like Al Michaels were like, whew, that's a pretty good team. That's the best team in the NFC now. Holy cow. It's sad to think we might not even be the best team in the NFC yet because of the freaking Eagles. And technically we're not. We lost to the Eagles, so we're not there yet. If this was college football, we'd probably be third in the country right now. Number three, probably, behind the Eagles and Chiefs. Eagles would be number one, Chiefs two, Vikings three. That's my guess. Maybe the Vikings are number two and the Chiefs are three. Kind of depends on how you look at it. But with that, the Fran Tarkington Award winner for this day is Justin Jefferson. There were many heroes. There were bad moments by Kirk Cousins, but then he was clutch again when it mattered most. And he didn't get nervous. He didn't fall apart. He got the job done. And I'm just keep praying that this will never end. This will be the immortal year where you never do get beat in the end. You never do get knocked out of the playoffs or beat in the Super Bowl where the Cinderella ride ends. It's time for it to end, and I'm praying that this is the year. Obviously, it's a long, 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 long way to go. We're 9 games in, a 17-game season, and you got to win at least 3 games to win a Super Bowl, if not 4. So it's a long way to go, and you got to win all 4 in a row if you're a wild card. And everybody's a wild card except the 2 top seeds in the National Football League, so AFC and NFC. Most of you know that already, but just in case you didn't, or it's just a cute little reminder considering the circumstances of an 8-1 Minnesota Vikings team. The Christian Ponder Memorial, I mean, does it have to go to Bradbury? I don't want to pick on Greg Joseph. I mean, he made the kick he needed to do mostly. That obnoxious missed extra point again was not his fault. Could it go to Bradbury? I mean, that might have cost us the game. That might have cost us the game, missing that. And, of course, again, he struggled. The injury bug was kind of scary. I'm hoping that Harrison Smith, hopefully it's just a cramp in the calf for Harrison Smith, and that's it. Christian Darrisaw, hopefully he's going to be okay and be back again because kind of important. Christian Darrisaw is one of the best left tackles in the world. He's like considered top 3, like all-pro level right now. And, well, you win a Super Bowl, you have a left tackle like that, protecting Kirk Cousins' backside, so to speak. So his blind side. It's so important that you have an all-pro left tackle like that. Super Bowl caliber teams have guys like that, and hopefully the Vikings can do that. Hopefully Christian Darrisaw is going to be okay, and this continues. This ride does lead to immortality once and for all, and it'd be so beautiful. With that, we'll take a quick break and look at next week's opponent and, of course, look around the league before that. And we are back here on Purple Mafia of the Pigskin Podcast Network. And, of course, we are going to hear from DraftKings now. NFL Sundays are only getting better, and so are the incredible offers at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win and get $200 in free bets if they do. Check this out. Right now, everyone can earn up to a 100% boost with DraftKings stepped up game parlays. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, place a same game parlay, and combine multiple bets like which team will win, player props, and point totals. Yep, very cool, and definitely I've been enjoying it very much as well. Download that DraftKings app. With payouts bigger than ever, DraftKings Sportsbook is my go-to when betting on the NFL, and it is. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TPPN and place a $5 pregame money line to get $200 in free bets if your team wins. And if TPPN, actually put in THPN for now, the Hockey Podcast Network, only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL with code THPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Of course, you will be seeing the disclaimer. And now we look around the National Football League and all that and discuss the Vikings' history with the Cowboys. Seems like we're talking about the Vikings and Cowboys every couple of minutes. Anybody betting the Vikings on DraftKings at Buffalo? You came out feeling good today, didn't you? Sure did, eh? Sure did. So get on the DraftKings and keep making money. Keep betting on the Vikings, I suppose. But, well, I better be careful. You never know. Don't make the wrong bet at the wrong time. Or Detroit going into Chicago or something. Atlanta, Carolina, that's Thursday night football at its finest. Carolina wins again, though, regardless. 25-15. I like Thursday night football. It just sucks that some of the matchups have been so crappy. It's just rotten luck. And then everybody keeps piling on and hating on Thursday night football. Thursday night football has been around for a long time, actually, but it was usually later in the season they'd start to pop up when the the playoff chases would really start picking up, and of course rivalries and interconference rivalries and such, and playoff seeding and all that cute stuff. But the Carolina Panthers win by 10 over the NFC South division rival Atlanta Falcons, are dropped to 4-6. Carolina is now 3-7. Oh goody! It's funny to think they've already lost 7 games. PJ Walker completed 10 of 16 passes for 108 yards for Carolina, but Donta Foreman was the big star with 130 yards and a touchdown anyway. Marcus Mariota was adequate, but he had an interception in the game as well, which didn't help. Cordarrelle Patterson, you just never know what to expect. Some days he's Adrian Peterson level, and the next week he's just and he only rushed 5 times in the game as well. I'm not sure what to make of that. Chenault Jr., a multi-threat with a couple of catches for 17 yards, but also ran for 42 and a touchdown for Carolina, and they got the job done. But that defensive line of Carolina, or defensive pass rush anyway, we'll just leave it at that. A couple of sacks for Marquise Hayes Sr. and Frankie Louvu. Rolls right off your tongue, huh? Frankie Louvu. All right. 4 sacks between those two guys. Pretty damn impressive. And Carolina gets the job done. That's the highlight of the day. You head to Germany. Now we get football in Germany. What's next? Football in France? Football in Spain? It's somewhere. It's somewhere, someplace. It's in Europe. Maybe it'll be in Greece. Maybe it'll be in Lebanon. Okay, I don't know. 21-16, the Tampa Bay Schmucks defeat the Sea Chickens. Actually, not a bad football game, and Tampa Bay Buccaneers stop a rally by Seattle, 13 points in the fourth quarter, but ultimately do not win the football game. The Bucs had kept the Seahawks to zilch going into halftime, 14-0 Tampa. The Bucs finally score a touchdown in the fourth quarter, but midway through to make it 21-3, you think, okay, it's over. Seattle comes rolling back. Geno Smith, couple of touchdown passes to get Seattle in position to possibly do something special. Geno Smith very sharp again. Tom Brady sharp, except for the stinking interception. Leonard Fournette in one of those kind of trick plays through an INT, unfortunately for him, and also ran the ball into the end zone. Rachaad White, cut jumping on the scene with 105 yards for the Bucs. Good for him on the ground rushing, of course. Chris Goodwin, Mike Evans, Julio Jones, all kind of factoring in with this weird Tampa Bay team. Each Chris Goodwin and Julio Jones getting touchdowns for the Bucs. Ryan Succop missed a field goal attempt, unfortunately for him. But the Bucs end up winning the game. They're now back to 500, so we'll see. It's a long climb to get to Minnesota level, isn't it? But they are leading the NFC South at the moment. There is some real tough competition as Carolina is knocking on the door. No, they're not. Next, we'll skip that one for now because it's much later. That is the NFC North. Tennessee Titans beating the Bills. 6-3, leading the AFC South. Did I call them the Bills? The Broncos. The Broncos are back to sucking. Big surprise. 3-6 on the season now. 17-10. Wahoo. Ryan Tannehill's back again. Good for him. So no Willis at the moment. So, and that's fine. Willis will have his day in the sun, I'm sure. Ryan Tannehill, not sharp necessarily, but good enough. Did not throw an interception. Kept off the turnover board. And Derrick Henry, another running back who was just absolutely insanely good just a couple of years ago. And now already, he's slowing down. He's getting old. My goodness, I feel so bad for running backs in the NFL and how it's like, oh boy, you don't want to pay running backs because it's always going to happen. And then you have guys like Latavius Murray, who was considered a veteran in 2017. Still going strong. He's a member of the Denver Broncos, unfortunately for him. Only 24 yards, but hey, carving out a career, good for him. It wasn't a great game, and they were behind most of the way and all that. Broncos stink. They just stink, and what a waste of money. DeMarcus Walker with a sack and a half. along with Rashad Weaver, also a sack and a half for Tennessee. They are in first place, and we'll see. They might be a threat. Kansas City, that's the other team that might be in the way. If the Vikings say, if there's like a college football ranking system, they're 7-2 on the year. Shoot, that's how close it was. The Vikings and Chiefs could have both been 7-2 right now if the Vikings lost today, but Vikes are 8-1. First place in the AFC West, big shocker. 3-7 AFC South. Jacksonville Jaguars lose again and to Kansas City. Again, shock of the year that this one went to Kansas City. They were up 20-0 at one point, and Jacksonville kind of got back in it, but ultimately did not win the game. Trevor Lawrence did not turn the ball over and was actually pretty sharp in the game. 106 quarterback rating. Mahomes was pretty much spectacular again with 4 touchdowns, but did have an INT, unfortunately. And Pacheco also with a fumble loss. It's Kansas City's, you know, they're a pesky defense. Christian Kirk with 105 yards in the air. Good for him. And Etienne Jr., I keep struggling with that one, with 45 yards on the ground. But they were playing from behind pretty much the whole way. Valdez Scantling, the former Packer speedster. Again, I'm sure they miss him. Jerick McKinnon also receiving with 56 yards in the game. Good for him. And only ran for 2. Only 1 rush for Jerick McKinnon because they have Pacheco, baby, who did fumble the ball but had 82 yards on the ground. The Chiefs 7-2 and rolling. Miami Dolphins crushing the Cleveland Browns. Vince Germano. Unfortunately, things not going so great. I'm going to sidetrack here for a second because, Vince Germano's from Australia. And I've discovered something interesting. Now that I'm on Megaphone instead of Hipcast with Purple Mafia and basically my other shows, one on Anchor, Freedom of Thoughts on Anchor, and the other two sports shows also on Megaphone, you can get a perspective now as to what countries and such and even cities are listening to your show. I'm going to move it over to country again. But apparently, there's a little presence in Norway and Singapore. What do you think of that? Spain, Australia, of course. Thank you very much, Vince Germano. Singapore, Singapore has gotten some downloads. Norway, of all places. Isn't that cool? So, hello to those of you out there if you're listening in Singapore. Maybe it's Jim Hammond of the Final Hour podcast. And, of course, Living Word Christian Center. Maybe he's in Singapore right now, being a missionary or helping out there. I'm not sure, but I'm just imagining. Or James Tan is listening. Who knows? But Norway, there's a presence in Norway, United Kingdom. That makes me think about Mad Martin. Isn't that the coolest thing ever? I know there's a presence in Nebraska, and of course Gerald String. But it even shows that there's somebody listening in Nebraska. So that's cool when you can narrow it down to states. So I just think it's cool. This is the first time I can really see where people are listening from, because we didn't have this in Hipcast. Unfortunately, Minneapolis, Minnesota does have the lead at 15%, but then you get Sheldon, Iowa. Interesting. Los Angeles, California. Maybe Anthony from LA, huh? Rochester, New York. Kelso, Washington. Omaha, Nebraska. Yep, there you go. Chicago, Illinois. Denver, Colorado. Oh, yeah, so maybe it's the guys over there in Colorado, Cambridge, Minnesota, and then so on and so forth. It doesn't go much further down, unfortunately. But, Minneapolis is the main presence. I suppose that would make sense, I suppose. But, still pretty cool to have an idea where people are listening from. I think it's really cool. So, finally, I can do that. Miami Dolphins over the, again, Vince Germano out of Melbourne, Australia, and it shows Melbourne, Australia, which is so cool. 39-17. Miami Dolphins look absolutely great. Again, dropping to 500 against the Vikings. And now, they're a different football team again. They're that excellent, excellent football team that started out the year. Jacoby Brissett, respectable for Cleveland. He took care of the ball and this and that, was game manager and all that. And then you have Tua, who threw for 3 touchdowns and no turnovers. He's kind of like another Mahomes right now. And he kind of is. Like, the numbers he's been putting up, like 300 or 400 yards, 3 or 4 touchdowns week in and week out. Skylar Thompson completed a 17-yard pass as well in the game, obviously, because, it's time to run things down here. Tyreek Hill had a touchdown. Alec Ingold, Trent Sherfield. The ball was spread out all over the place. Nobody really had a huge statistic day except Tua. And, of course, Jeff Wilson Jr. also ran for 119 yards, 7 yards a carry. Raheem Mostert also averaged 8.1 yards a carry. Miami just dominated all over the Cleveland Browns in the game, and they're now 7-3. They look absolutely awesome. Watch out for the Miami Dolphins, AFC. You never know. Maybe they're the ones going to the Super Bowl. New York Giants back to their winning ways, 7-2, second place in the NFC East because the frickin' Eagles won't lose. Houston continues to suck. They're now 1-7-1 and looking at the number one pick overall in the NFL draft. Hopefully it's not David Carr all over again, but we'll see. It's Davis Mills, baby. Woohoo! Daniel Jones only attempted 17 passes in the game, but was incredibly good. Basically perfect in his quarterback rating, just slightly below that. And then Saquon Barkley ran for 152 yards, but also it was a bell cow type of day. Tecmo Bowl football, where you just keep handing the ball off and handing the ball off and handing the ball off. 35 rushes for Saquon Barkley. Only averaged, well, he averaged 4.3, which isn't that bad, but only a 27 long. One touchdown for Saquon Barkley. Again, Tecmo Bowl football, in my opinion. The Giants taking advantage of a crappy Houston team, 24-16, 7-2. New York Giants, very much playoff-like. New Orleans Saints lose again. They're 3-7. Good night, Saints. They lose to an icky, yucky Pittsburgh team, 20-10. 3-6 are the Steelers. 3-7 are the sucky, crappy Saints. And boy, do I feel bad. I just feel awful. Oh, I feel so bad. Oh, man, I'm so sad for the Saints. Oh, poor Alvin Kamara, only 26 yards. Oh, I feel so bad after rubbing it on our face a couple of years back. Get the heck out of here. Merry Christmas to you, you schmuck. Mine's gonna, yeah, when he was crapping all over us on Christmas Day. That was great, wasn't it? Andy Dalton, couple of interceptions. Taysom Hill was whatever he is. I don't know. They stink. I don't know. The Saints just stunk today. And the Steelers took care of business, I guess. Alex Highsmith with a couple of sacks. Good for him. That's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And T.J. Watt had, well, no sacks, but he had four tackles overall. I know, I had fun with that. T.J. Watt's been impressive, and it's good to have him back playing again, as there was some fear about that earlier in the season. So T.J. Watt back playing again. But the Steelers are what they are. They're, I don't know. Kenny Pickett, I don't know. He's another one of those, you know, guys. Okay, he's this, you know, early in the draft kind of guy. Maybe not first round, maybe second, third round kind of guy. Maybe he is first round. Well, he should be first round, right? And I think he was. Yeah, he was 20th. You know, we're fairly highly thought of and all that. Not necessarily a franchise-changing quarterback, but we'll see and this and that. And he's okay. We'll see. He's a rookie and it shows and stuff. It's kind of green over there in Pittsburgh right now. Kind of green. We'll have to wait and see. Colts, who just fired Frank Reich, got another win. That's kind of sad. Frank Reich's pretty good, but, well, I guess not. The Raiders suck big time. Josh McDaniels, goodbye, buddy. You stink. That's the second time now. Don't waste your time hiring Josh McDaniels. Yeah, I mean, what a waste. They should have kept the guy they had, and they didn't. And they're paying for it. Losing to the Colts, and Matt Ryan's playing. Okay, maybe that's why they fired Frank Reich. They're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you putting in this rookie? What are you doing, Frank Reich? Well, Matt Ryan's back playing again. So that's probably what happened in Indianapolis. You just kind of put two and two together, and that's probably what happened. Davante Adams, how does it feel? Well, the Packers stink too, but they're doing better than you guys. 126 yards and a touchdown. Josh Jacobs also got in the end zone. Derek Carr threw for two touchdowns. I mean, you look at the Raiders on paper, you think, you know, they should be kind of decent, but they're just not. They're just not. And they have Ameer Abdullah, which is funny. The defense doesn't really stand out at you a whole lot. And I don't know, they're just not a winning football team, the Las Vegas Raiders. And I don't think they have a good coach either. I just don't. He's one of those guys, when they talk about the coaching tree and stuff, You pick that little bud, you pick that, you know, you'd like a little branch that you can maybe put in water and then it sprouts some roots and then you can plant it and it grows into this beautiful tree. That's not what happens for Josh Jacobs when he comes off the Bill Belichick coaching tree. It just wilts and dies and goes away. Matt Patricia, it wilts and dies and goes away. And others as well. Romeo Crennel, you could go on all day. Who's that other guy who took over the Chiefs years ago when the Chiefs were sucky? It's hard to imagine the Chiefs sucking, but they sucked for quite a while, actually. Todd Haley, that's who it was. I'm pretty sure he was with the Patriots at one point, wasn't he? And then he was offensive coordinator for the Arizona Cardinals, and they lost the Super Bowl to the frickin' Steelers in 2008, and then Haley got hired by the Chiefs, and everything went down the crapper because Haley sucked as a coach. A little too aggressive, just a little bit. Talking about the Arizona Cardinals, they win the football game today, 27-17 over the LA Rams. All right, Arizona, actually very impressive, burying the world champion LA Rams. Very small chance they even make the playoffs this year. They're 3-6. Cool. I'm not feeling bad. You know, I mean, but that's the way it is. You're all in. You get the championship, and then you have to realize the facts that you're probably not going to win again for a long time. But, oh, well, good riddance. Go away. Just go away. I'm sick of Los Angeles this and Los Angeles that. John Wolford, whoever the heck that is, a touchdown and an interception. Yeah, I know. He's what he is. He's a backup. Tyler Higbee with 73 yards. But Colt McCoy was quarterback of the Cardinals today. Colt McCoy, Mr. highly thought of by Brad Childress many years ago, wound up with Cleveland and was mediocre, and he's been kind of in and out and this and that. He's playing. Wasn't he in the same draft as what was that guy's name? Jay Cutler? I believe he was, right? Wasn't he in the... No, maybe not that far back. And it wasn't Brad Childress. I got him mixed up with someone else. That's further back. I apologize. 2010. Okay. Well, he was fairly highly thought of, and he didn't do much with the Browns, and he didn't do much with this, and he didn't do much with that. Career high, 14 touchdown passes with the Browns in his second year. And, he's got 3 touchdowns and an interception leading into this football game today. He was okay. I mean, he wasn't that highly thought of. He's a third-round pick, but he's a name, and he did okay. He managed the game. He managed it on 37 attempts. That's a lot of managing, actually. But 98 yards for DeAndre Hopkins on 10 catches. Rondale Moore, also, who could be a big threat at times, 94 yards on 9 catches. Okay, well, they get the job done, and J.J. Watt with a sack. And then Zach Allen also a sack, and Arizona gets the win and beats the Rams. Good for them. Backup versus backup in today's game. Great, but, well, Arizona got the job done, and that's what matters, I guess. They're still alive, kind of, and the Rams are in last place. The world champion Rams. Chargers right now lead the San Francisco 49ers in... San Francisco, but the 49ers are in the red zone apparently, but I'm not actually, that game is not flashing on the screen yet. It will be very shortly. Minnesota Wild are in OT in San Jose after leading 2-0. They blow the lead as the Sharks kind of flurry late and force OT, which is really irritating. It looks like we might be going to a shootout here unless the Wild can score in the next 40 seconds. Then why are we having fourth liners on the ice in this situation? And Matt Dumba, who can't score for his life. Great. Okay, well, that makes perfect sense. At least we didn't give up a goal yet and lose the game. Sorry, I'm distracted. It's overtime in a hockey game, and it's 19 seconds left. Looks like at this point the Sharks will either win or we go to the shootout here, considering where we are. Anyhow, we'll get to the... Yeah, it's at center ice. They're going to probably end up in the shootout. So... Let's talk about the NFC North here, if humanly possible. Detroit beat the Bits after a very nice win last week for the Bits. 31-30, Detroit wins their third game, and they're out of last place. They escaped the cellar in the NFC North. Congratulations, Detroit. Back-to-back wins. All right, Dan Campbell, you knocked off those kneecaps today, didn't you? Well, something like that. Justin Fields, nice numbers, couple touchdowns, but he did have an INT. Not only 20 attempts, but he also showed his athleticism, which is, holy cow, he's dangerous. Wow, this guy's dangerous. And they're starting to realize what they have in Chicago. 147 yards on the ground. You talk about Josh Allen being dangerous. This guy's really dangerous with his feet. And Josh Allen kind of stunk with his arm for a couple years. And then he came into U.S. Bank Stadium, and the birth of the Bills happened in that day, back in 2018, when Riley Reiff, who I forgot his name last week to my chagrin, with the foot injury, got his ass kicked throughout the day. He had that sore feel, that bad foot or whatever, and got his butt kicked, and Kirk Cousins got crushed from the you know, the blind side over and over again. But anyhow, back to Justin Fields, 147 yards and a couple of touchdowns. Watch out for Justin Fields. Holy cow, he's going to be good. He's going to be really good. Jared Goff with a touchdown pass. Jamal Williams receiving that one. He ran it in, pardon me. Brock Wright received it on just a 2-yard play there. Good for Brock Wright, I guess. Shane Zylstra had one attempt coming his way, but didn't happen. Amon-Ra St. Brown with 119 yards for the Detroit Lions, and they end up winning the football game, and congratulations. Two sacks for Jack Sanborn of the Bears. Two sacks for Julian Okwara of the Detroit Lions. Looks like both teams got stopped by the two goalies, respectively. Again, one of these days, I'll finally have a Brave the Wild episode. Philip Gustafson, nice little save there. Number 32, Wild backup goaltender on the blank. Here's Kirill the Thrill Kaprizov skating up. Yep, we're doing hockey highlights at Purple Mafia here. He scores. Yep, all right. Yep, all right. Yeah. Live hockey going on in the background on Purple Mafia when I'm talking about Detroit and Chicago. All right, well, enough about Detroit and Chicago. We don't have to worry about them, but there's a dangerous team now. They're still dangerous, even though their record stinks. The 4-6 Packers are second place. Second place, 31-28, thrilling overtime victory over the Dallas Cowboys. Yes, he made the stop. Yes, good. One more goal or one more stop, and the Wild win in the shootout. All right, 31-28, though. I'm sure the Packers were yelling yes, yes, yes as well in this one as Green Bay trailed 28-14 going to that fourth quarter, but then they rallied again at 4th-and-7 from the 39-yard line. Aaron Rodgers to Christian Watson, 39-yard touchdown play, which got things going and gave the Packers a chance, which probably pissed off every Viking fan in town, and I'm sure it did. Packers then tied it up later on after a decent drive. Christian Watson, elementary, my dear. With another touchdown, 7 yards out. Here it is, the Wild win if Justin makes a stop. And he did not. Jiminy frickin' Christmas. Well, great. We go to the next round now with a frickin'... Anyhow, that's what Viking fans were saying as well when Aaron Rodgers hit his... It's Sherlock and Watson, basically, right there. Sherlock Holmes and Watson there with the touchdown for the Green Bay Packers. And then Packers able to get the stop and do something down the stretch. Mason Crosby ends up getting a 28-yarder to wrap things up. Oh, did Boldy get stopped? Oh, come on. Fudge. Now the Sharks might end up winning the game. I hate the shootout because one little fluke play could cost you a game that you really should have won. He lost the puck too. Just like our guy. Sorry, I apologize, but the Packers are back in the mix, and that's just freaking wonderful, and that's who we're playing next week, so amazing timing. Dallas Cowboys, who we're playing next week. Dak Prescott's healthy and ready to go. I'm super distracted. Let's just end this hockey game. Come on. Come on, Drew Larkinak. Win the game for us, please. Please? God. Son of a biscuit. Tony Pollard, though, rushed for 115 yards. And obviously the Zeke Elliott, no longer really much of a threat for the Dallas Cowboys. Thankfully, Dalvin Cook still is. Aaron Jones ran up that Dallas team. I kept hearing about how great Dallas' defense is. Is it, though? Haven't they been giving up tons and tons of points and the Sharks just won? You've got to be kidding. Well, that's over. The Wolves defeated Cleveland. You'd think this would have been the opposite. The Sharks, the Wild beat the Sharks, the Wolves lose to Cleveland tonight, but nope, it went the other way. Jeez. That's on the laptop on the side here. Let's switch over to football, and I can get where I need to be. I apologize for being distracted. Epic, this was a Super Bowl many years ago, back in 94, and I was watching that far back. The red team won that game pretty easily. We'll see if the red team gets the job done here. This might be more of a defensive battle because San Francisco's got some damn good defense, despite the fact their offense can be pretty dangerous as well. Dak Prescott can throw for 1 million yards, but he can make mistakes as well. The Vikings have beaten Dallas. The Vikings have lost to Dallas. The Vikings got beat last year by old what's-his-name. I mean, it was so frustrating. It was strange, actually, how the Vikings found a way to lose to Cooper Rush last year. But it happens. Cooper Rush has had some nice moments. He's actually officially leading the Cowboys in passing yards because Dak Prescott had that terrible injury. But he's back playing again. Good for him. Can I just see the numbers? What the heck is this crap? This is so stupid. That doesn't make any sense. This really doesn't. Yeah, come on, man. Anyhow, I don't like the way this is set up at all. This is terrible. But yeah, Cooper Rush obviously has been the main quarterback. But again, Dak Prescott's healthy again. Good for him. Tony Pollard's been a little better than Zeke Elliott, and he didn't play today. Prescott, again, hasn't played a whole lot. Just coming back from the ankle injury, so hopefully the Vikings can get the job done. Trevon Diggs, the other, so those Diggs to Diggs now. Trevon Diggs, like last year, had like 7 interceptions. This year he's at 3 at the moment. CeeDee Lamb, another one of those big, big-name wide receivers that came out in that phenomenal wide receiver draft. Not quite as good as Justin Jefferson, but still dangerous, definitely a threat. I got to think Dallas's offense is a much bigger threat than their defense. It's just that, Trevon Diggs can get those interceptions, force those turnovers and such. He can definitely be a pain in the butt to deal with. Dallas's offense is definitely a threat. Dak Prescott can get a lot of yards and all that, but he can make mistakes. He, to me, is not an elite quarterback. He's a good quarterback. But CeeDee Lamb's obviously a huge threat. 150 yards today with 2 touchdowns, despite the fact that the Cowboys did not get the job done. Tony Pollard can get some catches and all that. He's not that spectacular, but he certainly ran well today, 115 yards. I'm more afraid of him than I am of Zeke Elliott at the moment. But you certainly can run on the Cowboys. I mean, at least Aaron Jones made it look that way, almost 6 yards a carry. Definitely Tecmo Bowl football again. There I go saying that again. But I think you can do a little of both. And I know how Aaron Rodgers has owned the Cowboys most of his career. He has. He only attempted 20 passes, almost a perfect quarterback rating, did not turn the ball over, way the heck better than last year. Prescott, I think, can be forced into mistakes. And why should I pick against the Vikings now? And why should I? I mean, the chances of the Vikings winning the game are probably higher than most people want to admit. This and that. Let's look at the history, though. Again, love what... I don't know what I'm doing here. love the Vikings' chances against the Dallas Cowboys. I love what they've done so far this season. And this one will be in U.S. Bank Stadium. It will be on CBS this time. And it will be in the later group. So 3:30 and all that. So that means another probably similar type of a show. Or at least the timing that I'm recording it as this week anyway. Cowboys and Vikings, I'll try not to babble too much. I apologize that I've done that in the past. Cowboys lead the all-time series 18-15, and it's been kind of ugly lately because the guys like Cooper Rush and Andy Dalton have given us a hell of a time lately. The Vikings are 1-4 since 2013, actually, versus the Cowboys. We played the Cowboys many times. We played them very close. We'll come back to that very shortly. We'll just go back to the really early history just for fun. All the way back in 1961, the Vikings lost actually the first 4 games against the Cowboys. 61, they played the Cowboys twice, and it was about a week apart. Yeah, I think I talked about this earlier, didn't I? Feels like I just did, but maybe not. Just a week apart, the Vikings lost both of them way back in 1961. 1966, the Vikings lost 28-17 to the Cowboys, got crushed in 68. 20-7 in Met Stadium, and the Vikings finally beat the Cowboys in 1970. A really good Viking team, 54-13 over the Cowboys. Impressive. Vikings lost to the Cowboys in 71 in a playoff game, which was, you know, crappy and sad. Vikings defeated the Cowboys in 73. I believe that was... Yep, that was. It was the NFC Championship game. We beat the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game in 1973, yep, when Tarkenton just kind of, he just walked off the field, like, all right, yep, and then we had to play the Steelers next, and, you know, yeah, we lost, unfortunately. I actually saw the end of that game, not in real life, but like YouTube and all that, you got to watch it and all that, and there was no celebration at all. Tarkenton just went right to the locker room, like, yep, okay, we just lost to the Dolphins, no, let's not lose to this new Steelers team, which is like the new dynasty, apparently. And that's exactly what they were, unfortunately. Vikings won pretty convincingly, and that was in Texas Stadium, too. So, very impressive win for the Vikings. You had the infamous Drew Pearson play 2 years later. Vikings did beat the Cowboys the next year, though, before the Drew Pearson play, by 2 points in Dallas. So, okay, we beat the Cowboys back-to-back games there. Only the third win in franchise history versus the Cowboys. Crazy to think that the second win in franchise history was the NFC title game. But then there was the infamous Drew Pearson play, arguably the greatest Vikings team of all time. We lost in a divisional playoff game, which odds are we would have won the Super Bowl that year because I believe the Cowboys beat a mediocre Denver team in the Super Bowl, which is very similar to 1987 where the Vikings couldn't win the NFC title game. And Washington crushed a mediocre Denver team in that Super Bowl. So, extremely frustrating there. 2 years later, the Vikings lose an OT to the Cowboys. Again, yep, 3-game losing streak to that awful Cowboy team just because they're evil. Vikings get beat badly. An aging, old Vikings team lose on New Year's Day in the NFC title game in 1978. There is no box score, unfortunately. We lose the NFC title game. That's the first of 6 NFC title games lost, 6 consecutive. You lose in 78. That's who it was against. You lose in 78 to the Cowboys, and then 20 years later, you lose in 98 to the frickin' Falcons. It took 20... No. That was, 28 years. Well, 20 years later, you lose in 98, yes. But then there was 87. That was 9 years later. You lose to the Washington Redskins, unfortunately. Gosh, that was only 9 years later. It felt like, you'd think it'd be much longer, but that was my whole life back then. lose to the Washington Redskins, you lose to the Falcons, and blah, blah, blah. It seems like it's kind of like a trend, like every 9 to 10 years or so, Vikings get back to the NFC title game, but then they keep losing it. Hopefully, if the Vikings get to the NFC title game this year, they get past and they actually win a Super Bowl. But other than that, kind of a back and forth for years. Yep, I remember the 93 Cowboys beat the Vikings pretty bad, 37-20. That was depressing. Vikings crushed a terrible 1988 Dallas Cowboys team when they were, I believe, 1-15. That might have been the year they went 1-15. But then ultimately, Herschel Walker traded to Minnesota in 89, and things went a little better for the Cowboys after that. But Cowboys actually really sucked for a little while in the late 80s. And then by 92, they were winning Super Bowls, unfortunately. Luckily, it's been pretty quiet since then. Vikings absolutely owned the Cowboys from that Thanksgiving day on, after the Vikings had lost another playoff game to the Cowboys in 96. That was a wild card game, 40-15. Orlando Thomas tore his ACL in that game, came back the next year, and was never the same again. Never. Kind of like Cedric Griffin tore his ACL in the NFC title game. Never the same again. Never the same. He was a really good safety. Both of these guys were really good safeties. Cedric Griffin is actually a cornerback, but he could kind of play both. Excellent cornerback was Cedric Griffin. And then after that, he was a terrible cornerback who couldn't keep up with anybody. And kind of similar with Orlando Thomas. He was terrible after that. It's so sad. Ugh. But then in 98, the Vikings beat the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. Awesome. 46-36. Randy Moss had 3 catches and scampered to pay dirt on all 3 of them. That was super fun. 99, the Vikings beat the Cowboys in a game where it looked like the Cowboys were going to beat us. And then things turned around very quickly after that, and the Vikings ended up getting the win by 10 points. Beat the Cowboys pretty easily in the first round that year, only to get crushed by the Rams the next week. But again, the Vikings started actually beating the Cowboys. We would win 5 games in a row after winning that Thanksgiving Day. That was what started the 5-game win streak anyway. Culpepper opened the season versus the Cowboys in September 94. 5 touchdown passes. That was awesome. Number 2 to Peyton Manning for the MVP that year. Lost to the Cowboys in 2007. That was not a good day. But a very nice, improving Cowboy team with Tony Romo at quarterback. Things just went south for the Vikes in that one. Vikings then beat the Cowboys easily in 2010, 34-3. But also the left tackle, we'll be reminded, was injured in that game. And the Vikings teed off on, Vikings defensive line teed off on Tony Romo on that day, and went on to the NFC title game, only to lose in heartbreaking fashion to the icky yucky Saints. Ugh. So depressing. So depressing. Vikings then would beat the Cowboys by 3 in 2010. Mediocre Viking team in 2010. Whatever. Since then, though, Vikings are 1-4, only beating the Cowboys once in 2019. And Mike Zimmer accidentally said the wrong thing. Instead of "you like that," it was "the Vikings won in a primetime game in Dallas on the road after losing in heartbreaking fashion with Mike Prefer as head coach for a game when Mike Zimmer was going through eye surgery and all that stuff after poking his eye." Very impressive showing against a very, 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 very good Cowboy team. Well, at least good regular season Cowboy team. And then Aaron Rodgers made them look like morons in the playoffs later that year, which I was okay with. It was funny. He made them look like idiots. So I kind of got entertained by that a little bit because I don't like the Cowboys. I just don't. Sorry, I just really don't. But then Mike Zimmer made the mistake and said, "You like how this tastes?" Instead of "you like that," he said, "You like how this tastes." Oops. That was embarrassing. Wow. 2020, a terrible Viking team with a vibe that was about as terrible as it gets. And a head coach that had, head coach that stunk or had completely lost his fastball by then. Andy Dalton, who had pretty much owned the Vikings and all that. Despite Kirk Cousins having great numbers, Andy Dalton beat the Vikings and made us look bad in that day, 31-28. And then last Halloween, Cooper Rush made the Vikings look like complete idiots. Vikings still almost won that game, but oh man, it was embarrassing. A terrible, terrible vibe. Beautiful, beautiful Halloween night, but an embarrassing, embarrassing day. Cooper Rush is better than the credit we gave him, but whatever. Let's get to where we need to be. I think the Vikings can beat the Dallas Cowboys. I think the Vikings will beat the Dallas Cowboys. Is this risky talk? Because, I mean, I want the Vikings to just win every game and win the Super Bowl. I want it so bad, but maybe this is one of those weird trap games, and hopefully this doesn't mess everything up for the Vikings' chances of home field or anything crazy like that. Get the job done, win this game, that'd be great. I mean, I can see some potential trap games coming up against the Colts, the Giants, games like that, and then you wrap up with the Packers and Bears, but you still got Detroit and the Jets. Interesting. Yeah, if you go at Detroit, the Jets. Vikings have a number of home games and then wrap up two games on the road against the hated Packers and Bears. Interesting. This is probably the most dangerous team remaining on the Vikings schedule, except in, you could say the Giants are, but it's a home game, and I don't know. The Giants aren't as scary as you might think, but maybe they are. They are 7-2 for a reason. Cowboys are kind of dangerous, and they just lost the game. Oop, he missed. Nope, he made it. How did that change? Wow, the direction changed. That was impressive, actually. Interesting kick by the Chargers kicker there. I believe it's Oliver. Yeah, nice kick, man. Anyhow, that was an interesting angle. I mean, I thought he'd missed that. It's like a curveball in football, or baseball, excuse me. Like at the last second, it kind of curved. It kind of like it caught something and curved. Well, he looks like he's about 15 years old, that guy. Anyhow, obviously the Cowboys offense is dangerous, this and that. This Vikings offense should be better than the Cowboys offense, I think. And I don't see any reason. I mean, the Vikings have struggled against this Cowboy team lately. I don't see the Vikings losing at home to the Dallas Cowboys. I just don't. This might end up being one of those insane seasons. 15-2, 16-1. Might end up going that direction. There's a real chance here. I can't go against this Viking team right now. The Vikings, I think, win this game. Final score of... Is it going to be one of those crazy days where if they finally break out and get 34-plus but without overtime? I don't know. Let's go with a final score of... Yeah, let's go with 31-27. The Vikings have a pretty epic battle with the Cowboys, but find a way to get it done. They will trail in the game. There will be times in the game where you think the Vikings aren't going to win, but they get the job done when it matters. Justin Jefferson, easiest pick. This is like a bunch single, 100-plus yards in the game. But I think Cook also runs for over 100 again. I think he has his third straight day with 100-plus yards on the ground. Vikings defeat the Dallas Cowboys 31-27. I'm not that scared of that defense. But don't be surprised if Diggs does get at least one interception on Kirk Cousins, because Kirk Cousins has been throwing interceptions this year. There's no doubt about that. But I think this will be a efficient game. Only one turnover by Kirk Cousins, and Vikings get the job done. It will be a threat. There will be some frustration with the defense and the amount of yards they give up, but the Vikings end up winning the day out by a final score of 31-28. With that, we'll take a quick break and get to what you guys have to say right after this. Back here on Purple Mafia, segment number 3, fan interaction. Let's get to the Twitter account. No call-ins today that I know of, anyway. I don't think so. I kept checking and checking, so I apologize if somehow, some way, I missed. Also, I should give a... I should make sure I cite them. Footballdatabase.com, footballdb.com is where I get the history for these teams, like the Vikings and Cowboys and all that such. As I scroll around, so I want to give them want to cite them and give them a shout out. They deserve it for putting that together for us. Thank you very much, Football Database. Twitter at Purple Mafia Show, at Purple Mafia Show, and you'll notice there's a new logo on both Facebook, Twitter, and on the podcast feed out there as well. Spotify, Apple, all that. Really exciting, nice logo, and thank you so much, Dylan. So you go from Dylan Richardson of the sportsstuff.com, and I'm going to stay in touch with him the rest of my life if I can, just in case he's listening, Dylan Richardson. Maybe he is, especially after today's game. I'm going to stay in touch with you the rest of my life and rest of your life and all that good stuff if we can. I would love that so much. Out of Northern Cal, again, he's the guy that really got me into the podcasting world with the sportsstuff.com. And how ironic, Dylan Kayser out of Vancouver, British Columbia, is the president of the Hockey Podcast, Hockey Podnet, Hoops Podnet, and Pigskin Podnet. Isn't that just the coolest thing? So it's Dylan again. Dylan Kayser, though, in this case, Vancouver, British Columbia area. So both West Coast, you could say, but a little further north in Dylan Kayser. Also a really, really nice guy. So introducing Dylan to the mix, if I didn't last week, I hope he did. He made the design for the new logo. And ironically, the old logo, which goes way, way back now, Dylan Richardson made that one, maybe about 8 years ago, about 2014-ish, and then he updated it with a feature look not too long ago, and it was on the sportsstuff.com. That was pretty cool, the rectangle-shaped logo. But now we have a facelift, we have a brand new logo. Dylan Kayser, thank you so much. What a great job. You got the mean-looking Viking guy with the ball, and of course the Mafia hats at the bottom with the faces and all that. Pretty cool. So, I mean, there were a couple of hybrid logos that were kind of together, and I said, why not? Yeah, like maybe we could merge that together, put the hats there, and then, well, he's the one that had the idea of merging them together and, bringing the hats over from a different one and have that cool-looking Viking and then bringing the ball, the hand with the ball over as well. Really cool. Thank you, Dylan Kayser. Out of Vancouver, British Columbia. Again, great logo. Doesn't it look nice? And you get those Mafia hats at the bottom there, the Purple Mafia Minnesota Vikings podcast. And again, it's an honor. And it's a really nice modern logo. And thank you so much. So now that I've babbled enough, I want to thank the Pigskin Podcast Network, Malcolm McSween. And who's the last one there? Tanae Brown out of New Zealand for retweeting the most recent episode. Vince Germano didn't this week. Oh, I hope hope everything's okay. I missed the guy. Maybe he did, and I'm missing it. No, yep. And then when I put up the new logo and everything, like, ooh, look at this. Malcolm, TPPN, the Pigskin Podcast Network, and Dylan Kayser all retweeted that one. And Malcolm out of California says, very nice. Pigskin Podcast officially followed me then. And they were replying, saying, the Skull with, I believe that's Skull Scott. He's kind of like, almost like the Vikings mascot nowadays with that purple paint and all that. He's been around forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. He's one of the huge fans for the Vikings that follows them all over the place and all that, going, skull, 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 skull. Yep. Basically, it's like, a, you know, one of those repeating videos they do on Twitter. But, yeah, that's the Pigskin Podcast. I'm like, thank you very much. It's an honor. Mad Martin says, good start, and it was. And then I said, yuck, man, this is week two all over again. Bleep this. And that was after the interception and things going so south. Mad Martin said, seriously, what did you expect? This game was always going to be a test of how good we are. And it sure was, wasn't it? And I was saying, pretty much, I knew this is the hardest game there is. Still sucks when things go south. It's the fan in me pouting, I was saying, basically. And then he responds with, win or lose, we are contenders, my friend, and there's no doubt about that. Both of us kind of quiet, probably more involved with the game than on Twitter. It was that kind of day. It was that kind of day where we were just watching so closely, we didn't really say much. So it was an emotional day. Unfortunately, again, put in perspective, it is a regular season game. So, and obviously, a lot of us hungry Viking fans, we wish we could start the playoffs today, go all the way and win it all. That's what I want so much. And Nervous Scotland, that's what it's called? Inverness, Scotland. Cool, Northern Scotland there. Mad Martin. Hope to hear from you as a call-in again soon. That would be wonderful. Really miss that, actually. You have the greatest calls of all time. Mark Carlson, as we head over to facebook.com/Purple Mafia Show, and of course, again, the new logo is there as well. He was sharing it to J. Mason Carlson. Mark Carlson says, hey, J. Mason Carlson, get the download and tell Anthony he needs to call in. It's been a while, and yes, thank you very much. Hopefully that does happen. I would love to hear from, and I'd like to hear from Jay also. And Mark Carlson, call in too. Gerald String, go ahead and call in again. Love hearing from you. And I was showing up. Look at this. It's the new logo. Gerald String has skull and a scary-looking logo there, but awesome as well. There were a couple of comments. See what they say here. This is, again, the Facebook page. Yep, Mark Carlson, skull. And then I was saying it's awesome. Yep, and thank you guys so much. That was kind of a cool logo there, too. And then I was saying again, oh, I hate that sound. Sorry. Mark Carlson was saying, yep, looking fresh, skull. And yep, thank you very much. Then we get to the in-game threads. And I was kind of pouting and getting mad at JJ for a little bit there. I was saying love, yeah, because he actually may have injured his hamstring a little bit after the opening, the game touchdown early on the opening drive. Love JJ, but sometimes I think he's getting too big for his britches and needs to come back down to earth. That's what we get for dancing ourselves to injury on the first drive of the game. Breaking news, winning is more important than scripted celebrations, I was saying. Mark Rossman was saying, you like that? Good luck, Purple Mafia Studios, naming the coming episode. I feel like we win the Super Bowl. I hope so. You don't know how much I hope so, Mark. Oh, I'm cautiously optimistic. You're saying tie. I'm going to flip out, and luckily that didn't happen. I didn't think it would. Going into OT, it was frustrating. Mark was saying, I have so much emotion right now. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Absolutely. Mark Dale said, the hammer, giddy up. Let's go. Mike Dale said, we have to be the worst second quarter team in the league. We always get smacked around on defense, and our offense goes into hibernation in the second quarter. It's weird, isn't it? It goes into the second quarter of just about every game. That just can't happen against good teams like the Bills. We killed them. Yes, says Mark Carlson. We killed them. Dead. We are the Vikings. We are the Vikings. Or we are Vikings anyway. Sorry, I read it wrong. I wish this was in chronological order, but it's spread all over the place. Mark was saying, fire the kicker, I've had enough. Go for two from now on. Mark, Brett McCarthy out of South Dakota says, good play by defense, fumble, and nice run. Yep. Mike Dale says, really excited about this one. Interesting to see how this team stacks up against a legitimate Super Bowl contender despite Josh Allen's injury and his possible diminished capacity. Yep, luckily there were all, unfortunately for us, there was no diminished capacity, but still won the game, which is really big. A purple streak and a purple strike. Could that have been Delvin Cook? No, couldn't have been, because that's earlier. Mark Carlson said 10 points so far. 10. Only 10. That's a shame. Three quarters of football and we have 10 points. Come on. This is where we make the change. And things did change. Oh, didn't they, though? We're on up a 33. Isn't that the darndest thing? Brett McCarthy says, well, this is getting out of hand real fast. Come on, defense. Mike Dale said Hawkinson had to interfere. Saved an interception for sure. Yeah, that was on that pass interference call. That was really frustrating. Brett McCarthy says, geez, throw it right to them. That was the second interception. Yep. Ugh. Mark says, come on, refs, you suck at making any legit calls in this game. Referees, please just do your job. Idiots, here is where the NFL can improve. Allow the coaches to throw a challenge leg on the field and call for a review for a stupid, obvious wrong call or a no call. Yeah, it was frustrating. If it was going to happen, it needs to start now. Yep, and it did. It did, yep, with like the comeback. Mike Dale says, damn it, Joseph again with the mixed extra point. I have a feeling that will come back to haunt us. Hope I'm wrong, and it almost did. But it didn't, thank God. Mike Dale says, fourth quarter coming up, time to wake the offense out of its usual second quarter slumber. And it did, didn't it? Mark Carlson says, fourth quarter, let's roll before I die. And that's, again, the before I die lager from Sterley. And yes, I still have some here, believe it or not. I have so much stuff, but yeah, that's a good one. And hopefully they do win a Super Bowl before we die. Mark said, eat the clock and score. Clutch Kirk, where are you? And he was there. Yep, we didn't eat the clock up enough, unfortunately, and the Bills tied it up. Let's go score before the half, Brett was saying. Nice. Yep, and things were not so good there, were they? Mike Dale says, we just can't defend against mobile quarterbacks, can we? Skol, that's when things got way, way better. Can't play catch-up. Yep. Come on, and expect to beat this team in a shootout, and somehow he did. Eric Kendricks, yep, the crazy Eric Kendricks fumble recovery. Mike Dale couldn't believe it. And then Patrick Peterson with the first interception of two. Mark Carlson saying his name there. How long can we do this? Moreover, why do we have to punish the fans? Yep. What a throw by Kirk, yep, said Mike Dale. Yep, no doubt. Yeah, there was some definite drama. Interesting one here. Mark Carlson, again, out of Iowa, says, please engineer a play that will get a positive yards in first and 10. The Buffalo defense isn't buying anything Kirk is selling on first down. That was so frustrating, wasn't it? Mike Dale was like, it's almost like a pitcher constantly failing to throw a first pitch strike and always falling behind in the count. Not a recipe for success, for sure. Yeah, that's true, very much so. Boy, it's weird looking at the old logo and then the new logo right there. Mark responded with, right, it's been going on for too long. It's time to make the defense, any defense, start guessing. Mike, yep. So Buffalo scores, but damn it, there was no penalty on Diggs. That tackle helped to set up the score. Yeah, the jersey tug, that was insanely frustrating as well, where that should have been called against Buffalo. On Hawkinson. That was ridiculous. Yep, none of us could believe that either. Not BS, non-call. And Brett McCarthy was wondering, what's going on? Why is it always Madison instead of Cook? Like, that was kind of weird, wasn't it? Mark said, I like Madison. I like purple talent. Brett was saying, offense needs to get going. And then his classic Skol, everyone at the beginning. We always love hearing from him there. Mike Dale, yep, there was Delvin with that 81-yard scamper. Just what the doctor ordered. Delvin has lost a step, my ass. Yep, oops, look what I've done. Now I made everyone mad when I say that, right? How the hell was that a horse? Yep, horse bleeping crap tackle. Yeah, that was against the Stephon Diggs. And then Brett McCarthy was agreeing. Final one here. Mike Dale says, did JJ actually injure his hammy during the celebration? I sure as hell hope not. And he may have a little bit, but luckily things went the right direction after that for Justin Jefferson, so I guess not. It didn't hurt him too bad, but maybe he's really sore right now. I don't know. Hope he's okay. Josh Mayer Henry out of Colorado says, wow, that's all I got to say for this one. This is the post-game thread, of course. Mark Carlson replied with, I screamed until I have no voice, Josh. And again, I hope things went in the right direction here. Gerald Sering says, wow, are you kidding me? Score a touchdown on the first drive about all the time and wait till towards the end and put down the hammer down since it was the national feat. I got to see snippets of it after it was 27 to 10, maybe, or something like that. Yeah, 24 to 10. Nick, that went outside to do yard work. My wife starting to yell at me to come in the house. Man, and then the overtime to me. It's not luck anymore. This team plays with a swagger we haven't seen in a long time. Yeah, it really is something, isn't it? Jerry Hicks out of St. Louis says, that was fun. What a game. Brad McCarthy was basically saying, hell of a game there. Yep. Brad McCarthy calls them comeback kids. Strike again. Yep, and that's been kind of becoming a thing. Andre on board says, Josh Allen is a remarkable quarterback, probably the best in the league, but had two critical turnovers to give away the game at the end. Best game I've seen in a long time. Yeah, this is a historical day. And Brett McCarthy showing an image of... Does it play? Oh, shoot. Image of... Yep, an image of... Peterson, celebrating. Mark Carlson says, Patrick Peterson, yep. Patrick, get it? You get it? Okay, Mark Carlson says, I have so much emotion, and it isn't even a playoff game. I jumped and screamed at the TV, just like the rest of you, I guess. There is a lot to say about this game, Joey. I'm not sure how you will get it done. Good moments, bad moments, impossible odds, unearned penalties, non-called penalties that hurt our team. Weather, wind, crowd noise, and 10 other things all in one game. That leaves me with one question for Herbal Mafia, and that is, will this team build some confidence that carries over? Because as a fan, I don't think we can ever relax. It's just not in our DNA. We are Vikings. Skol. Yep, an American flag there. Yep, because I think, yeah, the main difference with this team compared to, like, say, 98 and even 2009 and all that, and 17 and all that, is we're winning close games that we'd often lose. So there's something different. Could it be? Could it be an unexpected, out of nowhere, like, oh, my God, we actually win a Super Bowl with Kirk Cousins? When all of us were like, couldn't wait to get him out of here, myself included, at the end of last season. Like, get rid of the coach, the GM, and the quarterback. Let's go in a different direction. Hope to get lucky in the draft with the right guy. And then next thing you know, here we are. We bring them all back, and then we win a Super Bowl. I mean, I don't know. It would really be quite historic if that were to take place. Mike Dale wraps things up the way only he can. Holy cow, that looks amazing. Let's get to it. It's let's sink my teeth into this beast of a column. It's literally a column. What a game. Mike Dale again out of the New York area. So incredibly crazy. Mad as a hopping box of frogs, in fact. Are you not entertained? Just like, again, Maximus said once in the movie. Yep, Gladiator, right? Maximus. Yep. Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Okay, sorry. I can't talk too loud. I'm afraid of creepy people upstairs. At the start of the day, I was looking to see if this team can hang with the big boys. Well, we got our answer. Man, this team has some serious fight in it. I was looking for heart and some big-time clutch game winners showing up for the purple today. They showed it in spades. Go into Orchard Park and take the game to a team as dynamic as the Bills that pushed them to their limit and come out with the come-from-behind, yep, 17 points down, come-from-behind win in a shootout against Josh Allen. Stand up and take a bow, Vikings. Seriously, so much went on in this game to discuss. Players playing like garbage in the first half and then redeeming themselves, etc. The secondary getting torched most of the day, but came up big when needed. Common theme, though, this season. Coming up big when needed. Mm-hmm. Patrick Peterson looked like he was the only one who wasn't a deer in the headlights in that secondary today. But then again, They're playing against guys like Diggs and Davis with Josh Allen, who didn't play like he was injured, by the way, feeding them the balls when he wasn't busy scrambling and running them over. Yeah. One after another, third and long, converted by the Bills. It was really frustrating, wasn't it? It was demoralizing. Continuing, we definitely missed Cam Dantzler, as it was a trial by fire for the likes of Booth. Whew, yeah, he had some rough moments. And Evans, who was good, but then got hurt as well with the concussion thing. Duke Shelley, though, came up with a big play in crunch time. I had no idea who he was before witnessing his pass deflection. Yep, I just saw the name, like, oh yeah, the Vikings activate Duke Shelley. Yep, that's all. That's the only way I knew who he was. They activated Duke Shelley. Well, all right, Duke, go get him, Duke. That said, even with Dantzler, I'm not so sure he would have fared much better against Allen and Co. The officiating was absolutely horrendous. They got so many calls and non-calls wrong. It was comical at times. The officiating crew would get my Christian Bonner Memorial Award. Greg Joseph was a close second with another one of his trademark missed extra points, which almost cost the Vikings the game as well. We might actually need to start considering shopping for a new kicker. This really shouldn't be happening in almost every week now. Apparently, though, that was more of like a special teams like kerfuffle where kerfuffle, since we like to use fancy words. Me and Mike Dale like to use those kind of words. Christian Darrisaw was supposed to be out there, but he was in concussion protocol. Bradbury didn't come out in time to help replace him, and Greg Joseph had to rush the kick. So supposedly that was part of the problem, kind of special teams coaching and such. He's getting frustrated about the missed extra point. I completely understand, but apparently that one wasn't as much his fault as it may have could have been. Let's continue with what Mike Dale is saying. Justin Jefferson, easily the Fran Tarkenton Award winner. Yep, he got it. Dalvin Cook also had a good day. Lucky for him at the end with the drop pass on the goal line. Ugh. Yeah, that was irritating. The Bills ran off sides on the play. Remember that? Yeah, that was a big one. Big moment. Kirk showed a lot of guts and toughness, physically and mentally, as he shrugged off his earlier interceptions. Dare I say, he's starting to look the part now and is becoming clutch against greater than 500 teams now. I know it's only one win against a very good team this season, but man, this is one big scalp Buffalo Bills to claim. Yep. Many players were having a rough game earlier and atoned big time when it mattered. Eric Kendricks and Kirk obviously in the boat. Yeah, definitely. 8-1, and now I'm sitting here watching the as-advertised NFL America's Game of the Week between the 3-6 Packers and the 6-2 Cowboys. That's cute, considering we all just got done watching Real America's Game. Yeah, that was the real one. Vikings and Bills, it was the game of the day. Had to be. Watching the Real America's Game of the Week. Still following and supporting this team with guarded heart. Yep, I'm guarded too. But Kevin O'Connell and Klo are starting to convince me that they are for real. Anyway, this post is already too long-winded as it is, so I'm going to stop now, and I apologize. Nope, that was actually absolutely fantastic. And we're going to pass out the stars. Mike Dale, gold star. Mike Dale, gold star. Mark Carlson, gold-plated silver. And what was that? Boom, lots of booms. The bronze is going to go to me. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, it's going to go to me, right? It's all about me, damn it. The bronze, that's going to be a little tougher. Yeah, Mike and Mark, yeah, those guys are just having a hell of a year, aren't they? It's a lot of fun keeping up with them. Who's going to get the bronze today? I'm going to have Brett and Mad Martin share the bronze today. Andre actually should get it, if anything. Andre and Gerald and all them. I mean, you guys are just... it's like I want to give something to everybody. I just love you guys. But if I do that all the time, you'll be like, that doesn't mean anything now. I'm going to give the bronze to Andre. I want to give it to Andre today because it's been a long time. He kind of comes and goes, but just in case he's listening, yeah, thank you so much for posting there, Andre. Love hearing from you. Obviously, I've known him longer than any of you, actually. I've known him since, early 90s at Maranatha Christian Academy. Andre Charavong. Yep, I've known him since the early 90s. Filipino. Yep. Filipino bloodline and all that. I've known him for many years. He was actually in between my brother and myself. Class of 97. I'm class of 98. My brother's class of 96. So from high school, of course. Yep, great guy. We watched the Vikings get demolished by the LA Rams in 1999. That was depressing. I don't think we watched the Cowboys game. Maybe we did, but I don't remember. But I remember we watched the Rams game and we got demolished. We watched a couple games together over the years, but that was probably the biggest one, where the Cowboys, where the Vikings beat the Vikings pretty badly back in '99. That was it, 49-37 or something. It was a mess. It was a nasty day. But Vikings almost thought they had that thing, and then the Rams just went nuts after that. I think it was 49-27, not 37, but whatever it was, the Vikings lost, and it was disappointing. So, Andre, bronze star today. With that said, wishing all of you a wonderful week, and hopefully this never ends, and this is finally it. I'm, honest to God, not satisfied if this team goes to the Super Bowl and loses. I'm not. It'll have that empty feeling. And anything but a championship this year at this point will be sad. It'll be just sad. I'm not going to be like disappointing. Da, da, da. Well, who knows how things are going to end. Let's hope it doesn't end disappointing one way or another. I mean, when you're on this kind of run, things change. Your expectations change. Your hopes change. I'm not going to be all, oh my God, we're going to win. We're going to win the Super Bowl this year. We're going to win the Super Bowl this year. That was 98. I've never done that again. I thought that team had it, and they just, at the last moment in that freaking Falcons game, or should I say the whole second half of that game, things just didn't go our way on that day. The Saints game, the Vikings looked like the better team the whole time, but they turned the ball over 15 freaking times, so of course you're going to lose, even though you still almost won the game despite that. It was just that crazy how close it was until the Favre interception, and the Vikings still had a chance to win that game. But we didn't, because we never got the ball from the frickin' Saints. That was just disappointing. We didn't have a chance, but we would have. Let's just leave it at that. So sad. And then 17, everything just snowballed in Philadelphia. That was bullcrap in a negative way. Vikings were 11-1 in 2000. A lot of people forget about that. Then Culpepper has the high ankle sprain, and we lose the last four games of the year. Lose home field advantage by the skin of our teeth. We would have had home field advantage in our sleep. Probably would have beaten the Giants easily and got demolished by the frickin' Ravens because they were just better that year. So, however this ends, I hope it's the year. I really do. Not overly optimistic that it is, but I really hope it is. Great to see Christmas lights popping up everywhere. It's starting to happen. Go out there if you're a Christmas light lover. Go out and enjoy. It's starting to happen. Hopefully this continues, but hopefully the Vikings run continues. Otherwise, enjoy the Christmas lights and enjoy the wonderful, wonderful season. I hope it never ends. I hope this is an immortal season. 49ers just scored to make it potentially 13-10 if they make their extra point. I don't want to think about missing extra points or anything. With that said, have yourself a wonderful, wonderful week. And hopefully the Vikings continue this switch versus the Dallas Cowboys.